This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, and there is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
We talked 2 weeks ago about the miracle of Pentecost, and that in that powerful moment, the wind blew and the fire blazed and the babel of sound suddenly broke forth. But the miracle, as we reminded ourselves, was not that God made everyone the same. It was that God spoke to, in, and through each and every person gathered in their own language, uplifting them, empowering them, and claiming them just as they were, each different and unique, all God's own. Where some would argue that in order to follow Jesus, you had to be a certain way, talk a certain way, believe a certain way, do certain ritualistic things. So since Jesus was Jewish, you had to be Jewish too. That meant that you had grown men on fire for Jesus who then had to get circumcised because Jesus was Jewish, and so should they also be. But Pentecost actually affirmed for us that God was in every language, in every culture, in every person. So when Paul was baptizing throughout the Greco-Roman world, this was his message, that there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Now, it sounds a little bit like that same old message of everybody coming one, the same, because differences don't matter. But I think that Jesus wants us to take it a little bit further, to say that, yes, there is still Greek and Jew, male and female. And that, yeah, all are one, but we each come from our different places. We each have our own identities, and yet still we are united in Jesus. It kind of reminds me of the saying that we say every week, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Better yet, we might say, you belong. You belong. We sing that during Lent. You belong, you belong, you belong. We belong. Our theme for the last couple of weeks, as you've heard over and over again, is we're family. We are family. And that's what the letter to the people of Galatia ultimately gets. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's offspring. You are family. And of course, we take that even a little bit further, right? We come back to Adam and Eve. We are offspring of the first ones. We are family as we think about our family tree. So we need a balance, right? To be the same but different, to be one but many. And that's what was so unique about the early church, was that Jew and Greek, slave and free, men and women all came together. It's actually really dramatic and really radical. They had never all come together before. You can imagine these house churches that they had where the slaves would suddenly come and sit side by side with women and men, all in one room, the wealthy and the slaves themselves. They came together. Now, they didn't cease being who they were. They were who they were. Their social status was what it was in the culture that they lived in. But they came together, welcomed exactly as they were. And all those social statuses that said who was who were suddenly eliminated. Because that's what happens in family, right? It doesn't matter who you are on the outside, when family comes together, family is family. All that stuff doesn't matter. It's all in the family. Because family's there for one another. In the healthiest of families, each person is affirmed for who they are and their unique contributions to the whole. Challenging one another, comforting one another, cheering each other on, and simply enjoying one another's company. Always coming together for a big family dinner, breaking bread, and sustaining and being sustained through all the ups and downs. So what does that actually look like? Well, Paul paints a picture, but so do we. So here are a couple of stories from the members of our families, the kooky and the spooky, the Fairview family. So if you want to come forward and like sit here in the front row with me, Heather, you can actually come right on up, and then Adam and Kathleen are also going to share. Fairview family.
I had tears in my eyes and my heart was overwhelmed. So I don't remember word for word what she said, but it was essentially, I can't tell you what you should do, but I think you have found your new home. Everything that I had experienced that morning, including the conversation that had just concluded, led me to believe that she was right. And as I looked at the woman who had been a stranger just over an hour ago, I was also pretty sure I had found the first of many friends. And I probably should not look at her. I usually shied away from stating such things, but it felt like an answer to prayer. You see, 10 months earlier, my best friend and sister by heart, Bethany, lost a lifelong battle with mental illness and took her own life. It was a devastating loss for me, especially since Bethany and I had just recently reconnected after years apart. On that night that I learned that she had passed, I shouted out in anger to both Bethany and to God, it wasn't fair. I demanded through my tears that Bethany find me a new friend who would love me as unconditionally as she had. I prayed God was listening too. So on that Sunday in May, I stood outside the doors of a church telling my story and recognizing that it was the potential answer to my prayer. Sometimes the low points in your life are the catalysts that bring about the change you've wanted to make all along. My friend Bethany was a lesbian, and I struggled with the fact that the religious tradition that I was part of did not support the LGBT plus community. And yet, the memorial I attended for Beth was at a church that supported, loved, and fully accepted her family. It was then that I realized my home congregation had not truly felt like home for some time. I needed a place where I was free to question my beliefs. I also needed a spiritual family that would have accepted Bethany for who she was and allowed me to grieve honestly. Eventually, I found Fairview Community Church and visited for the first time on Pentecost Sunday 2015. I told the pastor about my journey, unable to hold back the tears. She hugged me and I cried some more. That prayer for loving friends, for family, had begun to be fulfilled. Soon, my whole family was coming regularly and became members. We had found our family and home. Every Pentecost, as we celebrate the birthday of church, I celebrate the birthday of a new chapter in my family's life. 2 weeks ago on Pentecost, I was unable to come to church. So that morning on Facebook, I wrote the following tribute. Today is Pentecost, birthday of the Christian church and the anniversary of my first visit to Fairview Community Church 3 years ago. This is the first Pentecost I won't be there. Fairview is more than just a church, more than a place I go on Sunday to feel inspired, encouraged, challenged, or comforted, or all of the above, by the pastor, Sarah Halverson Cano, who I am honored to also call a friend, and sometimes by guest speakers. It is more than just a musical outlet for me in which I can stand in front with others singing hymns, contemporary praise songs, relevant pop culture songs, and inspirational songs from other traditions. Fairview is more than just a place for my kids to explore and discover their spiritual path and learn how to be a citizen that makes a difference. It is more than just a group that is open, welcoming, and affirming to all. More than just a place that gathers to try to tangibly make a difference in various areas of social justice and in the world in general. Fairview is more than a dual denominational church. At Fairview, it is okay that my spiritual and theological understanding is in an ongoing process of study and introspection. And I find relevance in the Sunday service, no matter how that changes. Fairview is more than holiday celebrations, special theme Sundays, once a month theology on Tuesday happy hour gatherings, women's group, and the fun summer sermon series. Fairview is my community and my family. Thanks to Fairview, I learned of the opening for my current preschool teaching job. Thanks to a conversation after church, I learned about the Orange County Children's Theater that my daughters joined. Thanks to my participation in official Fairview events, I also have friends that I've spent time with outside church. Thanks to friends at Fairview, I have learned how to paddleboard, albeit poorly, gone to a musical festival, helped with a silly annual scavenger hunt I do, had volunteers act as professors at one of our epic Harry Potter parties, joined a Dungeons and Dragons group, and so much more. Thanks to friendships made at Fairview, I felt the freedom and inspiration to delve further into the nature-based traditions my family has been observing. I have made some of the dearest friends one could hope for, friends I had prayed for. The people of Fairview have been an amazing support as I dealt first with the loss of my best friend and then the loss of my father. They have been a positive addition to the adult influences my children are around. I could go on. I am so thankful for the family I'm now part of. My last sentence of that tribute was, so while I may not be sitting in a pew or singing up front at Fairview today, I am there in spirit because my heart is always there. So, how do I give back to the church family that has given so much to my personal family? First, I volunteer. I show up and help at events when needed. And also, I give financially. We are a family, and part of being a family is supporting one another. We do this in many ways, one of which is giving financial support to the church. While volunteering is needed, the reality is that it takes money to fund the many things our church does for each other and the community at large. By pledging a certain amount of money each month, we allow the church to come up with a budget. There are so many areas in which we have no choice in how much we give, and other areas in which we can choose how much we give. Some of us can afford more than others. But it is vital that we all pledge what we can, and in so doing, demonstrate the tangible way that Fairview makes a difference in our life. We have an opportunity on this Pledge Sunday to do just that. Thank you for giving me this opportunity this morning to speak about the importance of my church family.
Thank you, Heather. Morning, everyone. Baseman Adam here to also talk about stewardship and family. Fairview is my family here in Southern California. When Ascent and I moved down here from Oregon 3.5 years ago, we didn't know anybody in town. We dropped by this church on a whim and immediately felt at home. The community accepted us without any hesitation, just as we were. In an instant, we went from knowing nobody in town to having a place to go on Christmas. The sense of belonging we felt was amazing. Our church truly feels like a family. We've been blessed to have us people support us through tough times, as we had multiple family tragedies last year. We've also had the opportunity to be a support for others in their times of need. Like a pop culture prophet once said, in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. You can see that play out every day here at Fairview. This church is more than just a support group, though. This place is fun. Every Sunday is a celebration of life, of gratitude that we made it here and we can enjoy fellowship with each other. We're an active and healthy family. When it comes to stewardship, it's all in the family. The money in the collection plate goes right to the ministries here in our church. Our denominations give us a lot of autonomy, which is great, but the trade-off is that we're responsible for our own funding. At the end of the day, we have to pay our own bills. Like my dad said when I first moved out on my own, it's the price of freedom. We get by pretty well, though. Look around you and you'll see that our hall of worship is humble, but it's well maintained. We've got things like the new carpet and the fresh paint on the walls show you how we take pride in our building. And let's not forget our wonderful staff who make this house a home. All this is made possible by member support. That kind of support is what stewardship is all about. It's taking care of our Fairview family. There's no set amount I can tell you to donate every week, no formula for determining the perfect contribution. And the last thing I want to do is make anyone uncomfortable, because we know everybody's situation is different. We're not going to hassle you like a public broadcasting telethon. We just really want to encourage you to give what you can and think about doing it so that our family can continue to thrive. Pledging makes a huge difference in the management of our church. It's a way for us to quantify our revenue from member contributions and to build an operating budget. When you get ready to pledge, take a look at your personal budget and determine what you can afford to give. Then commit to providing that amount on a regular basis. That's how Ascenta and I do it. And we pay online, so it's automatic and we never miss a contribution. This church is a big part of our family, and we're excited to be part of its continued growth. Supporting this family is an important task, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming if we all pitch in. Just remember where it goes, right back into our family. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Well, my name is Kathleen, and many of you may know my story or our story of our family, but I wanted to share with you a little bit of why I love our Fairview Community Church family. So 3 years ago this month, my husband and I moved our family here to Southern California from Idaho. We were looking for a church home, but you know, Clint, he wasn't so sure he was ready to go back to church. He was tired of the hypocrisy, and he wanted to be in a place where he or they wouldn't discriminate between gay and straight, and not just love the sinner, but hate the sin. But a real welcome to lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people. He was looking not for just socially progressive Christians, but those who were theologically progressive as well. He wanted a place where you could ask questions and you weren't told that there was one answer. Tired of the my way or the highway kind of Christianity. He didn't really want to step back into a church that would send anyone who wasn't just like them to hell. And when he put it that way, well, neither did I. But I have to admit, I was a little worried that we would actually never find a church that he really wanted. See, what I was looking for was I was looking for community. I was actually looking for family, because we left our home, we left our family, our friends, and our kids' friends. We came from a place where we all knew each other. Suddenly, here we were in beautiful, sunny Southern California, but without any real friends. And honestly, we didn't have any family here either. We wanted to find a place where our kids would feel welcomed and nurtured, and where they'd be loved just for who they were, the same way we thought other people would be loved for who they were. With all the big mega churches here, I didn't want our little family to get lost in the masses. And my husband would sooner die than become a member of a mega church. So, you know, that was kind of out. It seemed like we were looking for a church that would only exist in our minds, a place where we would fit in, and so would everyone else, and a church that didn't think Muslims and gays were going to go to hell, a faith community that took the Bible seriously, but not literally, a church where the pulpit wasn't used to condemn, but to challenge us to use our minds and put our faith in action. A place that believed following Jesus meant bringing in the outcasts and loving our neighbor regardless of their immigration status, and a family that would love us and extend that reach beyond their walls to share that love with everyone in the community. And we were also looking for people who like to have fun, kind of like what Adam was talking about. We like to laugh, and we like to be with others who enjoy life as well, and also like celebrating God's gifts with humor and delight. But honestly, how in the world were we going to find that church like that here when we couldn't find a place like that in Idaho? Well, my husband got on the computer, did an internet search for this impossible church that we were dreaming of, and wouldn't you know it, we had just moved a mile and a half away from this dream church that we were looking for. And if that isn't a God thing, I don't know what is. We left Idaho, but we found a home here in Costa Mesa, right here on the corner of Fair and Fairview. Our kids are in the Sunday school, literally, right now, they are. My husband is on the board, and we are all excited about Spooky Sunday coming up next fall. You guys got a little glimpse of that earlier. And I love the blessing of the animals that we have done every single year. My husband loves Evolution Sunday and our midweek Wise Up Wednesdays that we do once a month right now, but it was, you know, weekly. Maybe sooner or later we'll go back to being weekly. Meanwhile, I'm on the Women's Group Planning Committee and a regular TOT Theology on Tuesday every single month. We just did it last Tuesday. You missed a great time, so make sure you to come next time. We did find a church where we can laugh and love, and that doesn't require us to check our brains at the door or condemn our neighbor because they're different from us. A place where we fit. A place where everybody fits. Did we expect to find this church? No. Did we expect to find a family hundreds of miles away from our own? No. But the Spirit moves in mysterious ways, and we are home. And you are our family. Each of us have our own stories of why and how we joined the Fairview family. Some of you have been here for decades. Some, like us, have just been here a few years. And some of you might still consider yourselves new to this family. Each of us have a place here, and each of us have a role in the family to play. It might be the coffee maker on Sunday mornings or a member of the music team. Some of family members, like Clint, serve on the board, while others, like me, attend groups like the Women's Group or TOT. Most of us help out in the parking lot fundraiser, which is coming up real soon, attend our Beacon of Light celebration, and some of us are kind of still trying to figure out where we belong, while some of us just enjoy listening to the music or the sermons on Sunday mornings or just the conversations after church over in the fellowship. Each of us are called to be part of this family, and each of us are called to do our part. This is why we chose to pledge. We pledge our whole selves, not just our money, but the truth is we understand that it takes more than just financial commitment, a pledge on our part to be part of a church that we consider family, that has means to survive another year, and hopefully better than that, thrive. So we are pledging this morning, but we know it doesn't end with a financial gift. We pledge to come to church on a regular basis. Look, we know it's hard. There are times last fall and this spring where Jack's baseball comes regularly, and it takes us away from here on Sunday mornings. We all have outside commitments, and it's understandable that we don't have perfect attendance. But being part of a family means showing up for family. So just like we make the baseball games to cheer on our son, we try to make it to church to cheer each other on regularly as well. Because that's what family does. We miss each other when we're not here. That's why I love the encouragement cards that we get, because one little note that reaches out to the members of our FCC family says, "I'm thinking of you. You are on my mind and you are in my heart." We also pledge to show up for church events. I know we all have busy lives. Trust me, juggling school, 3 different careers, you know, as your Mary Kay lady, your real estate agent, and oh yeah, your photographer too. It also happens to be a full-time mom. I get busy, but I also know it's important to make time for church and church events. So you'll see me and my family out in the parking lot. You'll see us at our Beacon of Light celebration, and I'll probably end up cheering up another event like our bingo night that we had last month, I think it was, because family shows up for family. How about you? What can you do for our family? Will you pledge today? If you have never have, now is the time to start. If you have, maybe you can consider stretching your gift just a little bit. We have goals this year to increase our ministry, and so it's up to us to meet those goals. I hope you will. And I hope you will give more than just money. Give your whole self, because this is a pretty good family to be part of, and we're glad we're all in it together. Thank you.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you all for giving so vulnerably and sharing your stories. Family really is about being there for one another, to challenge and comfort, to answer God's call, and most importantly, to reflect God's love. So as each of us have been called into this family, it's up to all of us to ensure that our family will be healthy, happy, and true to God's mission as we live out the mandate to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God in this world. Amen. And now we think about Jesus sitting down with his family as he broke bread and shared of a simple cup. And before we do so, we consider whatever it is that we might be holding back from fully giving ourselves to family, to God, to follow in Jesus' footsteps and live out life as brother and sister together. So whatever that is that's holding you back from fully experiencing God's love and God's family, you might lift that up personally now, and I'm going to ask Alonso to come and stand in for Libby again so that we can all share in a corporate moment of confession.